McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
It is very good evening. It is Niall Boylan with you right through to midnight tonight. Interesting conversation we're going to have later on about the election. And I know it's all done and said and done, and I don't want to go down some sort of conspiracy route or anything like that. But the fact that the head of the electoral body, Commission Tachan, has acknowledged that the electoral register is not as accurate as it should be, and that there could be, listen to this, as many as 500,000 people who should not be on it. Now, considering that only, what was it, 2.1 million people are registered because the rest would be all under the age of 18 or whatever it is, that's 20% of the electoral register should not be actually on it. To me, I don't know to you, but to me, that's mind-blowing. Why didn't they tell us this before the election, by the way? That is just mind-blowing. Roughly 20%. Now, some of that is good reason. There might be people who are dead, who they haven't taken off their registered electors yet. I don't know why, by the way, because surely all the, you know, the different kind of databases all link up in some way. There has to be some way of doing that. This is 2024, for God's sake, not 1984. Although you'd think it was 1984, wouldn't you, George Orwell? See the link there that I put in? Do you like that? That was subliminal. Anyway, but the fact that, you know, there's people on it, for example, who may have moved house twice in the last 10 years and they have three different votes from three different addresses, that's unacceptable. So if that's somebody who's a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael or a Sinn Féin and they're voting for somebody, that's three votes they could put in for one person. Because they're not going to report that, are they? Because they've got three votes now if they decide to use them. Now, I don't know how many of those 500,000 votes were actually used, but we need to get the bottom of it. But the one thing I will say is, if you have a situation where 500,000 people in a population of 5 million people are on a register to vote who shouldn't actually be on it according to the Electoral Commission, I believe the election should be void. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't know what your thoughts on it. Am I right? Or should we just be happy and, look, Niall, we'll sort that out later. Let's move on. Let's get over it. Get over it there, Boylan. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I don't know. We'll talk about that. Also, Jedward have inflicted a Christmas song. I mean, released a Christmas song on the population. They've inflicted more music on the population. Yeah, it's called Lovemus. Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Simply having a wonderful Lovemus time. Anyway, I don't know what I haven't even heard the song. AJ has assured us that we're going to inflict, I mean play it later on, or play certainly a clip. I don't think you could stick the whole lot of it. Play a clip of it later on. Alright. We'll be asking you your favourite Christmas song. But the first thing I want to talk about, and I do want to give you a little bit of a warning on this, because the last time we talked about death, somebody complained because their brother had died that day and they thought the conversation was insensitive. We just stop out of that. We have to be able to have conversations. That means we can't talk about sick people in case you have a sick member of the family, or poor people in case you have a poor member of the family, or rich people in case you have a rich member of the family. I mean, look, we have to be able to talk about things. But on the agenda tonight, first, we're going to talk about something that we seem to have an obsession here with in Ireland, and that is death and funerals. And I'm going to ask you, you know, what you think. But first, on November 29th, Mary Regan passed away at Hillview Nursing Home in Carlow. God rest her soul, as they would say. And she was predeceased by, should I say, by her siblings, Paddy, Con, Patricia and Jerry, as well as her partner, Fred, Tony Lang. Funeral director Rory Healy asked people through an appeal on social media to attend her funeral mass so she gets a bit of a farewell from her adopted town of Carlow and by the Carlow people, the people of Carlow. And I have to say, I thought it was, when I heard it during the week, I said, isn't that so sad? Here's this poor woman and nobody left in her life. And she passes away and nobody's going to be at her funeral because nobody really knows her because she'd been isolated. And nobody be there. And now you have, you know, a funeral director asking people, you know, will you just, you know, kind of go along, you know, and just show your respect. And I think that's so sad that you would be at that point in your life with nobody left. I'm sure she was quite lonely. I don't know. Well, look, I want to ask you about life and death. And, you know, would you like, do you have a funeral planned? already. Maybe you have. Would you like to be cremated or buried? And what do you think happens after you die? Is there life after death, or is that it? Just game over, in the box, in the ground. That's it. It's all over. Done. Bye. I mean, what do you think happens after you die? Well, getting back to the funeral of Mary Wiegan, I asked Rory Healy to join us, who is the undertaker in Carlow, who put out that message on social media. Rory, hi. How are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Good. Rory, I have to say, when I heard the story, it was actually on the news. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday night. And I said to AJ, my producer, I said, that's such a sad story. Isn't it really sad that you would end your life so isolated and lonely and unfortunately nobody to really go to your funeral?
It is indeed a very sad ending for Mary. And Mary is not an isolated case, I'm sure, but thankfully is one of the few cases I have dealt with where there has been no one to attend the funeral. But I'm sure it happens throughout the country at all times.
Now, she was in Hillview Nursing Home. In Carlow at the time, of course.
So she, correct, yeah.
And she'd been there for some time, had she?
I'd say she was there for about a year and a half.
Okay, well, that wasn't too long.
By Hillview.
Yeah.
No.
And her own husband had passed away.
Her partner, Fred, had passed away. Fred was, his anniversary was last Wednesday, and Mary passed away on Friday.
And did you know Mary yourself? Would have
met her a couple of times. I would have known her partner, Fred, more so.
Yeah,
and he was an old family friend, and when they retired back to Ireland from the UK, I would have met Mary a number of times, but always a pleasant, very quiet, humble lady.
Yeah, and why did you decide to launch that appeal? What was the main reasoning behind it? Was it just because you didn't want nobody there?
I certainly didn't want no one there, but I had funerals over the weekend, and there were fairly large funerals, and I was driving home from the second funeral, and I said to myself, there's going to be no one at Mary's funeral tomorrow. What can I do? Because always in Carlow, the funeral masses in Ascot Church, where we had Mary's mass, they're always at 11 o'clock. But there is morning mass at 9:30 every morning in Ascot with a congregation of regular attendees that go to mass. So I asked the parish priest, would he let me bring in the funeral at 9:30? And he agreed to that, knowing that there would be at least someone there of the regular tenders of mass. So I thought about it afterwards and kept thinking about it, and I said I'd put out a call to see if there was anyone around in the hope that maybe 12 or 20 people might turn up for Mary, and lo and behold, over 300 did.
Yeah, it was a massive turnout. Well done to you with it. It was a massive turnout. She got a great send-off in the end, didn't she?
She got a fantastic send-off, an absolutely fantastic send-off.
And there was people there of all ages. Were you blown away, by the way, the amount of publicity that it got? Because it ended up on the news.
All ages, all walks of life. There was a couple of classes from the local presentation college. Someone told me today there was also people there, students there from the local Gael College as well. But all walks of life, all ages.
She'd have been delighted.
Absolutely. Well, I hope she would have been delighted anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm sure she would. And that was by the way, it was a really lovely thing for you to do. Because, look, you know, your job is just to basically bury people. You know, that's unfortunately your job. Yeah. But, you know, that's not part of your job, to get people to attend a funeral. And I have to say, it was a really nice and a lovely thing to do for Mary, because, of course, nobody wants to see poor old Mary being buried on her own, so to speak.
No, well, I don't like doing funerals that have no one at them.
Yeah. You know, and is that common? Is it common, Rory, that, but I suppose, particularly elderly people?
It's not common. You would have funerals that are very small, all right, but there would be some friend or family member there, but there would be small funerals. Certainly we do small funerals, but knowing the circumstances of Mary that I did, I knew that there'd be no one at it, or very, very, very few. Maybe there was a few out. I would have expected a few out in the nursing home and that, but other than that...
See, that's probably a more modern phenomenon, because in my mother's day, she would buy the Evening Herald. And the only reason my mother would buy the late edition of the Evening Herald was to look at the death notices to see if anybody locally had died, so she could go to the funeral. And that was, I think that was one of the only, and older people still do, well, they probably are not so much in touch with the likes of RIP.ie and what have you, but you don't really see that. Yeah. I don't know whether it's still in the Evening Herald or not. I don't know.
Well, certainly death notices aren't appearing as much in newspapers. It's mostly all RIP now.
Yeah, it's all online now. So the older people are not quite as au fait with that, so they don't.
Well, I have an 86-year-old mother, and she's very, very handy with her iPad. So, and I know a lot of people, her vintage R2. So.
And what about the local radio stations? Now, never really in Dublin, but I know rurally, some of the radio stations around Ireland always in the dead notices.
All the local radio stations around here, KFM and Kilkenny Carlow Local Radio, they all have what they call an obituary service, and they call out the death notices a couple of times a day.
Okay, because it's not something that's, that, as far as I've been aware in Dublin working in radio.
No, it's not.
It was never done. Thing, no. Yeah, but I suppose it's to do with population as well. We'd be there all day reading them out, of course. I mean, the Irish relationship with death is a kind of unusual one. Now, I suppose compared to the UK, we're very quick. We like to get people buried as fast as possible. Whereas in the UK, they kind of drag it out for about 3 or 4 weeks. Over here, you're kind of, you're dead and you're buried within the same week. The relationship we have with death, the Irish funeral, it is very different, that culture, isn't it?
We always say Ireland always looked after their dead, always. Mm. And they respect their dead, they respected their dead greatly. And the traditions that we have in relation to laying our dead to rest, we are very good at that.
And in your opinion, what makes that kind of relationship or that the funeral so special? Because it's the one thing we've been accused of doing actually right in this country is funerals. So what makes that kind of that so special? What, in your opinion, what makes it? Is it just the celebration, the fact that we can go with a smile on our face?
We can go with a smile on our face. A lot of people left the funeral of Mary Regan on Tuesday with a smile on their face because they were happy to see so many other people there along with themselves. But so we do funerals well, I'd say, because we grew up going to funerals. Everyone was brought to funerals. Johnny Murphy was there down the road. Everyone went to it, you know, the likes of that. And it's our culture. That's what it boils to. It's our culture that we look after our dead.
And we're kind of funny about it. I remember years ago, a fellow that I knew died, and he was well known for owing people money. But somebody said to me when he died, there was a huge funeral. I said, oh, it's a huge amount of people. And I said, Jesus, that surprised me that it was you. He says, yeah, a lot of people there making sure he was dead. And I said, right. Okay. There's always these kind of witty things. Or, you know, when you go to see somebody laid out and people go, ah, didn't they look so happy? And I go, what? But sure, they're dead. Why would they be happy that they're dead? You know, we say the oddest things and we come out with she's never looked better. Look at her. They did a lovely job on her. We have these little sayings, and it's only in Ireland we appreciate that, isn't it?
Only in Ireland. We're very, very unique in relation to how we deal with our dead. Very, very unique.
And nowadays, I suppose, between burials and cremations weren't a thing here 20 years ago. It was quite rare. It was unusual that you heard of a cremation. Now it's become more popular, a lot more popular. I think probably cost factor is one of those things.
It has swung in the opposite direction. There's more cremations now nearly than burials, certainly in the cities, I'd say. But it is certainly more so creeping in the country now. A few years ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, we might have done one cremation a year, whereas we're doing, I'd say, 30% of our funerals now are cremation.
Is that a fall off in religion, or is it because of a cost factor, or what's the reason behind that?
It's a number of factors. It's obviously, cost in relation to Dublin because of the cost of graves up there. But just people have they're more aware of the choices that they have now.
Yeah,
they know what cremation is, whereas before it was kind of an unknown.
Yeah. I had a woman on the air one night. We were talking about Christmas presents, and she said her husband bought her a plot for Christmas. Right? This is the truth of God.
There was many a wedding present that was produced, and it was a burial plot.
Yeah, and do many people? Because AJ said to me, put a shout out tonight and see if anybody booked their own funeral. Right? Do many people come in and pre-book their funerals? Like, say, listen, you know, I'm not feeling too good. Is there any chance I could book me funeral? I don't know if it'll be in about 6 months' time or whatever. Do people come in and pre-book funerals, pick their own coffins, all that kind of stuff?
I had an appointment this afternoon for a lady who wanted to go through her arrangements. It's nearly, same last week, it's nearly a weekly thing for me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, people just want to put down on paper exactly what they want, and it settles their mind that it's done. And that's it. And they don't have to think about it again.
And what? They just put down a deposit? Is that the way it works?
Well, some put down a deposit, or some just tell me what they want their arrangements to be, and I hold it on file here until the day that the Lord calls them. So.
Yeah. And it's an expensive hobby getting buried nowadays, I suppose, Rory, too, comparison to what it would have been 20 years ago. It has, you know, gone up substantially. And that's because, of course, the cost of the plot more so than anything else.
We all know everything has gone up substantially in the last 20 years, but certainly the cost of graves have increased. I'm not overly okay with the cost of graves in Dublin.
Oh, you're looking at $3,000 just to open a plot now. Yep.
Yep, I know there's some of them that can be quite expensive, but in the rural parts in Carlow and surroundings, they're not overly expensive.
Right, okay. It is a morbid thought, but it's one that we can manage to put out of our heads most of our lives. And people say to me, like, I'm 61 years of age now, and people say to me, like, you know, as you get older, do you think about death? And I have to be honest, I think about it less now than I would have, say, 20 years ago. So I think as you get older, you think about it less. I don't know, maybe that's just my imagination. And don't get me wrong, I still have a few years left of me. But I think people, we have an ability as human beings, that, like, it's the most catastrophic thing that happens to us in our lives, apart from, you know, meeting the tax man. It's the most catastrophic thing that happens in our lives.
Both are guaranteed.
Both are guaranteed, yeah. But yeah, we have this ability to put it in the back of our minds and not think about it until that time comes. It is fascinating, isn't it?
Very fascinating. And to see various different people and their thoughts on death, and say, I couldn't make my own arrangements, Rory. I don't want to do that. Let them do what they want with me. And other people say, Rory, I want this, this, and this, and make sure that it happens.
Yeah, I said I want to be just put in a wheelie bin. I said to my wife, just stick me in a wheelie bin. It'd be grand. You don't have to have people around like that. I don't want, so everybody knows now publicly, right? I don't want a funeral. I've said that already. I don't want people there. I don't want a funeral. I just want, just cremate me and scatter me over Cocoa Beach in Florida, because it's one of my favourite places in the world. Scatter me there, or sprinkle me, or whatever you want to call it, whatever the right word is.
In you saying that, you know what you want, and your family will know what you want now as well. So that's your way of making your arrangements.
Yeah.
Shall we say.
Yeah, if the pilot in Aer Lingus could kind of throw a little bit of me out the window as we're flying over Cocoa Beach, that'd be good. Actually, there was a good theme on...
Tell your wife to hire a helicopter.
Yeah, there was a good theme on Coronation Street. I don't know whether you watch it or not, but one of the stars died there recently, and there was a whole hoo-ha about how they were going to give him a send-off. And one of the mother decided she wants his ashes launched into space. And I thought, that's brilliant. I said, so they you get a video. They actually do it.
Would you go that far, Niall? You would?
I don't know. Maybe if I was a pal of Elon Musk, it'd be all right. Yeah. But they do it. So they have these mini rockets, and they have like cameras on the side of them, and they launch them into space. So once they get outside the Earth's atmosphere, they open the gadget with the ashes in it, and you see the ashes all falling out, and then the rocket just falls back down again on a parachute or whatever. But they obviously do a few at a time. But I thought, that's a marvellous idea, isn't it? I mean, there's people are coming up with so many different fantastic ideas now. I mean, Rory, would you be a Christian yourself?
I would be, yes.
Okay, so you believe in heaven and the afterlife, I suppose.
I do, yes.
Yeah, and most funerals nowadays would be still Christian funerals, would they?
90% of funerals are still Christian funerals, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, look, it's an interesting occupation, by the way, Rory, as well. It's something you always wanted to do, is it? When you were younger?
Well, I'm third generation, so I don't know much more. So.
Oh, right, so even when you were a kid?
Yep.
Do you get desensitized? Are you desensitized to death because you see it all the time?
To a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine so.
You wouldn't be 100%, but just... To a certain extent, a small percentage, say, but you still feel sorry for the person, you do feel sorry for the family and all that. But you have a job to do, and they're relying on you to do it as best as you can. And you go in and you get it done, and hope that everything goes right.
Yeah, and I suppose some funerals are always sadder than others, particularly that of children.
Very much so.
Who died in maybe tragic circumstances or whatever. Rory, it's been lovely talking to you. By the way, well done on getting a great turnout for Mary's funeral. I'm sure Mary is up.
I'm delighted that people of Carlow came out for Mary. I really am.
Yeah, I'm sure she's up there smiling now and thanking you as well. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us tonight, Rory. Appreciate it.
No problem, Niall.
There you go. That's Rory Healy, Undertaker in Carlow, who organised that wonderful send-off for Mary Regan, and he was all over the news, it was all over social media. He just wanted people to go because she was isolated. She was in an old folks' home, all her friends, her family had all previously passed on, so she didn't want to go to the funeral. So Rory made sure she had a bit of a send-off. Some of the local schools sent classrooms full of people there, and there was older people there, all ages, and she got a massive funeral in the end. Well done, Rory. So, look, what I want to do for the next 40 minutes is talk about death. Isn't that horrible? Would you like to be cremated or buried? Have you booked your own funeral? Have you thought about it? And what happens after you die? Is that it? In the ground, muck on top of you, See you now. Nothing happens. And somebody said to me before, oh yeah, something special. Like, he said, like, you couldn't imagine nothing happening, could you? And I said, well, can you think about what happened before you were born? And they go, no, nothing. And I'm going, well, why is it so fantastic to think that nothing happens after you die? See what I mean? Same thing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you don't remember before you were born, do you? So nor will you remember after you die. But anyway, maybe you have a different view of it. Maybe you're a Christian. You believe we go to a better place. Some Christians believe life on earth is hell on earth. And heaven is where we should be. And that's the afterlife and what you are meant for. I'd like to hear from you. Would you like to be cremated? Sprinkled somewhere? Where would you like to be sprinkled or scattered? Or would you like to be put in a wheelie bin? And anyway, what do you think happens after you die? Let me know. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. 087-1...
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.